Good morning. I had a good laugh with Charles. It said that I was going to be singing. I said, not on this side of eternity. I thank you, Ada, for sharing that with us. I just wanted to share a personal experience. It's funny when Sandra asked me, all of a sudden I was thinking, okay, what great Hebrew points and Greek points am I going to bring out? But even in that experience, God humbled me. I want to focus on the last part that talks about walking humbly with thy God. Funerals are interesting. At a funeral, you rarely hear the degrees delineated, you know, what a powerful mind the person had, you know, what great, you know, things this person has thought of, and you never heard that. What you typically hear is, this person was a kind man. This woman was very thoughtful. I remember when I was hurting and she did this. And it made me think of a text in Revelation 14, verse 13 says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.'" And it made me think, what legacy am I leaving for my little girl? I have a 7.5-month-old daughter named Brianna. But every time I look at her, I have to ask the question, what legacy am I leaving for her? This is what Dr. Knight would call a level 5 disclosure, so bear with me. When I first came to AIM, I don't know if you're familiar with AIM, Adventist Information Ministry, I got hired, worked for a while, and then Doug Jansen, our assistant director, called me into the office, and you know, he asked me if I wanted to be the head chaplain. And when he did, I don't know what happened, but from that moment, I suffered from cranial inflation. I don't know if you've ever suffered from that, but all of a sudden, I thought that, you know, I was the man. God called me for such a time as this. I'm going to come in and change things, and we're going to do great things. And for about 7 months, personally, I languished because I found myself trying to control what was going on. And I saw the results. You know, every month I have to write up a report about how AIM is doing, how many people were connecting with local churches. And I just got dissatisfied with what was going on because I realized I was the problem. I was the problem. So I fell on my knees and prayed, you know, God, you got to do something because I'm messing this up. I'm glad I'm not the only one who feels that I mess up a lot. And so God said, okay, if you want real transformation, you have to take your eyes off yourself. You have to take your eyes off yourself. You have to stop trusting in yourself. Okay, Lord, I'll look to you. That's only the first part. It says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the first commandment. But what is the second great commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? And I'm glad Charles is here and others who work at AIM are here because they can testify to what God has truly done with AIM. Well, one thing that I learned is that I had to learn how to trust my peers, my friends, the people that I minister with. So I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. So I had to push all my thoughts, all my plans, all my program to the side and say, okay, God, show me now what AIM can do. And so I had to start asking questions of my peers, of the people that I work with. What are some of your ideas? What are some of the things that you think that we can make this work better? And I started listening, and I started implementing some of those things, and Charles can testify, it has been a glorious experience what God has been doing at AIM. Not only for people that are calling in, but also for us. Our friendships have grown. Every week we have a meeting. We pray together, we eat together, we get to know each other, and it builds this bond. And it makes you stop being proud because you realize how much you need each other. Dr. North always shares this, how good it is for brothers to dwell together. And that text has meant more to me now than it ever has, because I realize I need you and you need me. And when we take on that spirit of working together, then things will start to change. And now I can talk to my daughter when she says, "Daddy, what was it like? What was it like?" I can say it was wonderful and share with her how I got a chance to connect with people, how to humble my pride and listen to people. And those are life lessons that I do plan on teaching her. Ellen White says, "What is righteousness by faith but the humbling of man's pride into the dust?" And that is a rich, rich experience that I'm learning, haven't learned it all. But I just wanted to share that with you. When you think about the legacy that you leave, I feel compelled to share this. One thing that really bothers me about what goes on in our church is that we're divided. We're divided by race, ethnicity. We're divided by sex, cultural ideas. And as the world throws upon us, we focus on these little differences that we have with each other. But what was Christ's last prayer? He said that they may be one as you and I are one. That's where transformation takes place, when you can look at someone and you don't see, "Oh, this is my black friend," or "this is my Hispanic friend," or, you know, "she's," or, you know, these things that we use to separate each other. But I've learned through walking humbly with God that he can do marvelous and rich things when we humble ourselves and acknowledge the person next to us as just as valuable. Their thoughts are just as worth, has just as much worth that our thoughts have, that our plans have, and that when God can get us all together with one goal and one mind, we can accomplish great things. So I just wanted to share that experience with you, because it truly is a living testimony that God wants to do great things. We just have to humble our hearts.